Well, this time in Spain for Brevin's Flanks, we're joined by Brett Hansen. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. It's hotting up.
Yes, yes. It'll get a bit hotter, I guess. Anyway.
It will.
So, the last few years have emphasised how uncertain life can be. Brexit and the pandemic were followed by the terrible events in the Ukraine, which led to both inflation and greater investment volatility. This perhaps makes it even more important for us to take control where we can, particularly when it comes to our retirement and the long-term future and security of our families. So today, Brevin's Franks, Brett Hansen and I will take a look at the key wealth management considerations we should review from time to time. So let's start with pensions, Brett. Since pension funds are often key to our long-term financial security in retirement, it's been quite a few years now since the pensions freedoms started in the UK. Has this made it easier for people to manage their pension funds and retirement income?
Well, for many of us, Howard, our pension funds play or will play a major role in our long-term financial security in retirement. And so clearly, we must take great care of them. Before George Osborne introduced the pensions freedoms legislation, which came in April 2015, there were restrictions on how we could access our pension funds. In effect, when it came to what are commonly referred to as defined contribution pensions, such as personal pensions or self-invested personal pensions, on retirement, you could take a cash lump sum of 25% of the pension fund, which is tax-free if you're a UK tax resident when withdrawing this, and then the remaining part of the pension had to be taken as a regular income, typically as an annuity, or you could opt for a drawdown if you met certain conditions. The pension freedoms legislation, though, has given us much more freedom in that once we've attained 55 years of age, we can basically draw down what we like and when we like from these pension funds. So Howard, UK tax residents can still take a cash lump sum of 25% of the pension fund tax-free, but there are tax liabilities to consider when withdrawing the rest of the fund. And we also have to consider the prospect of exhausting our pension funds too soon if we take out too much or if it's invested inappropriately. And so whilst these freedoms are obviously a good thing, when you're given more options as to what you can do with your pensions, then it becomes even more critical to weigh up the pros and cons of each and ensure that you make the right choice based on your circumstances and needs.
So what is your advice for UK nationals living in Spain? What should they do with their UK pension funds?
This is a good question, Howard, because I'm increasingly finding that when I'm talking to British expatriates who are currently residing in the UK and are looking to retire to Spain, one of their key concerns is what should they do with their UK pension funds? And so for many expatriates moving to Spain or are already living here but are now thinking of taking benefits from their pensions, whilst clearly they have the same issues to consider as other retirees in that they need to establish what are the various options available to them, they will also need to understand what will work best for them as a Spanish resident. And one important thing to bear in mind, Howard, is that how a UK pension is taxed in Spain is very different how they are taxed in the UK. For example, whilst taking the 25% pension cash lump sum is tax-free for UK tax residents, for Spanish tax residents, it is liable to tax in Spain. There are, however, a number of pension options open to British expatriates moving or living in Spain, but this makes it very important to ensure that you obtain both qualified and regulated advice on this in order to be certain you're doing what is best for you and your family based on your circumstances. This could be to retain a UK pension, but where you're receiving experienced regulated advice on this pension on an ongoing basis in Spain, which is particularly important since most UK advisors are no longer authorised to provide advice on pensions to Spanish residents. Or another option that many expatriates have chosen in recent years is to transfer their UK pensions to what is called a Qualifying Recognised Overseas Pension Scheme, or QROPS. And this, Howard, is basically a European pension fund, which provides a number of additional advantages compared to UK pensions if you're going to become a resident of Spain. For example, with the right QROPS, you can invest and receive income in euros. These pensions legitimately avoid wealth tax, whereas it's our understanding that recent changes in legislation in Spain means that UK pensions with fund values are now liable to this annual tax. And again, AccuOps will enable you to receive regulated qualified advice in Spain. Also, for anyone whose pension funds are getting close to what was the UK lifetime allowance, they may be particularly interested in looking to transfer their pensions out of the UK as a means of legitimately avoiding this tax if Labour were to win the next general election and reintroduce this tax charge, something they said they would do. But Howard, I want to be clear that they are by no means suitable for everyone living in Spain. And so when it comes to pensions, our advice is that listeners should always take personalised, regulated and qualified pension advice in order to ensure that they take the best course of action for their particular circumstances and needs.
Inflation has been and continues to be a big concern. What can people do to protect their income and savings?
Well, regular listeners to our broadcast, Howard, will be aware that we've been talking about inflation for more than 2 years. And whilst inflation is still a big problem, certainly in the UK, it does appear to be falling in Spain and is currently around the 4% mark. But if you took an average inflation rate of, say, just 4%, then year on year, this would reduce your spending power of, say, 200,000 euros to around 134,000 euros after 10 years. And if we extend this to 20 years, then it will have lost around 55% of its value. And after 30 years, your 200,000 euros would have the purchasing power in today's terms of around 60,000 euros. And this is on the basis that you haven't spent any of this money over that time, for example, to supplement your income. So over the longer term, there's no doubt, Howard, that inflation can be very damaging, particularly to retirees. And it's important to ensure that at the very least, your capital is growing in line with your rate of inflation. And when I say your rate of inflation, please bear in mind that official inflation rates are normally based on a basket of goods containing a representative selection of items for people across all ages and incomes. And so the headline rate doesn't often reflect your personal rate of inflation. So clearly, whilst we should all keep a certain amount of money in bank accounts to cover emergencies or any planned major costs for the next couple of years, it's certainly sensible where if you have cash in surplus of these requirements, you consider looking to invest some in other assets or asset classes, which can provide the opportunity of helping reduce the impact of inflation.
These are uncertain times, though. People may be worried about investing their savings in stocks and shares. So what can they do to reduce investment risk?
Yeah, it's a good question, Howard. First of all, when it comes to investing, at Blevins Franks, whenever we sit down with a client who is looking to invest some of their hard-earned money or pension, the first step always revolves around us understanding what are our client's circumstances and what are they wanting to achieve over what period of time. And of course, it's also imperative that we also establish their specific risk profile. And then once we understand all of these very important considerations, we can then look at how best to meet their needs. The majority of our clients, Howard, are retired, and so the first objective is security and wealth preservation, as they've worked hard to accumulate this money or pensions throughout their lives, and they certainly don't want to lose it. At the same time, I think most of us recognise that the best chance of outperforming inflation and producing real returns over the medium to longer term is to invest in assets which, whilst they can fluctuate in value, historically have provided positive returns over the longer term. And so when creating the most appropriate investment portfolio to match a client's risk profile and objectives, we stick to what we refer to as traditional investments such as bonds, property and equity funds. And then for many of our clients whose attitude to risk is fairly cautious, their exposure to stocks and shares can be quite low. But a tried and tested strategy to mitigate risk even more is to diversify further, whereby in addition to investing in different assets, you also diversify with regards to geographical regions, market sectors, and by allowing a variety of very different fund managers to manage your money. When it comes to investing in these types of investments, Howard, it's impossible to know what may or may not happen in the short term. And so one solution could be to invest over a period of time, what is often referred to as pound cost averaging. This is a strategy used by some investors to reduce their exposure during times when markets are going down or are particularly volatile, whereby if someone has, say, a cash lump sum to invest, rather than putting it all into the investments in one go, they drip feed it over a period of time. And so if markets were to go down further during this time, the investor is able to take advantage of this by the fact that they are drip feeding the money in over a period of time. But if markets start going up before they've invested all their money, well, at least they got some of their money invested when the markets were lower.
And what about tax? Do you consider tax to be another threat to our long-term wealth? And what can we do to protect our savings and retirement income from too much tax?
Certainly, the way you structure your assets and wealth can make a significant difference to the tax you pay, especially in Spain. And so it would make sense for listeners to ensure that their arrangements are structured appropriately for their life in Spain, as well as appropriately for their aims, circumstances, goals, and risk appetite. There are, after all, tax-efficient solutions available for Spanish residents, which, as well as providing tax savings, they offer additional benefits such as multi-currency, income flexibility, and estate planning advantages for both the UK and Spain. And ultimately, with cross-border tax and financial planning being quite complex, I think listeners would benefit from talking to a specialist advisor, such as ourselves, who have an in-depth knowledge of both the Spanish and UK tax regimes and their interaction with each other when it comes to beneficiaries living in other countries. And our local advisors in Spain, Howard, can certainly help listeners take advantage of the tax, investment, pensions, and estate planning opportunities available for Spanish residents.
Looking ahead and hopefully far, far into the future, we can't control death. But can good estate planning control who receives our assets and when? And what do British expatriates need to know about Spanish succession law and tax? And how can we make life easier for our heirs?
Well, it's important to understand that when it comes to Spanish succession laws, the Spanish Civil Code specifically establishes who is to benefit and doesn't allow you to simply leave your assets to who you want. In fact, the laws are very clear in that, for example, children and not the surviving spouse are entitled to inherit 2/3 of your estate. Since August 2015, though, an EU regulation known as Brussels 4 does allow for an individual to opt for the laws of their nationality to apply. And so, for example, a UK national can choose to leave their assets to who they wish, though this choice of wanting the laws of their nationality to apply must be made before their death, which you would normally do by putting this in a Spanish will. But it's important to understand that whilst this avoids the Spanish succession laws, it doesn't avoid the Spanish succession taxes. And Spanish succession tax arises in two situations. Namely, when the beneficiary of an inheritance is a resident of Spain, or if the asset being inherited is a Spanish asset, regardless of where the beneficiary is resident. So where a married couple is resident in Spain, they can ensure that their assets pass to each other as per the Brussels 4 regulations. But the surviving spouse or partner may well have Spanish inheritance tax to pay, depending upon a number of factors such as the amount of wealth being inherited, whether the state or regional succession rates will apply, and if the latter, what are the allowances for that region? Also, depending upon your domicile, when leaving assets to, say, children, UK inheritance tax could also be payable. And so it's advisable to put in place a plan by talking to a cross-border specialist in this area of expertise in order to ensure that your wishes can be achieved while making the process as straightforward and tax-efficient as possible for your loved ones.
Is it possible to structure our finances to improve taxation for ourselves today and our heirs in the future at the same time?
Yeah, I believe so, Howard. With planning, listeners should be able to structure their investments, assets, and pensions in order to minimize the various taxes in Spain, which include income tax, capital gains tax, wealth tax, and Spanish succession tax. And with our cross-border expertise, we may also be able to successfully minimize UK inheritance taxes as well. I find in most cases we can certainly reduce our clients' tax liabilities, and for many, we've actually put our clients in a position where they legitimately pay less tax in Spain than what they would have paid in the UK, whilst also having all of the benefits of living in Spain.
Very interesting and very important, of course. The website is an excellent source of information if people want to find out a bit more about Blevins Franks.
That's right, and our website is blevinsfranks.com, and on there you can find our tax guides, information about where our local offices are, what we do, who we are, and even some of these podcasts, I think, will be on there.
Always a pleasure, Brett. We'll talk again in about a month.
That's great. Thanks, Howard. Bye now.